Welcome to the Megacast.
Welcome to episode 82 of the Megacast. It is the 24th of April in 2018, and I'm joined tonight by three very special people. They hold a close place to my heart, Wilco, Josh, and we've got a special guest tonight as well, the beautiful developer behind Odd Gods. And what do you want us to call you tonight, man? Like, is it just Gil?
Yeah, it's Gil, I guess.
It's just Gil from Odd Gods?
Yeah, sure.
Fair. Good evening, fellas. How are you all?
Good. I still love the name of his studio, which is In Between Worlds, but it's I-double-N In Between Worlds. It's great.
Oh, I like that. That's very good.
That was my... becoming a dad, I decided that I had to make my little contribution. And if anyone ever picks it up, it makes me really happy. One of the dorkiest things I've ever done, but I like it.
We'll get into Odd Gods very shortly because it's a game that I'm incredibly interested in. For any RPG fans, you're going to want to hear about this because it's a little bit exciting for me personally. But Wilco, I guess we'll do this. I mean, we're going to get into what we've been doing for the past week, and a little bit of a heads up. We did not want this to be a God of Warcast because it's a very spoiler-heavy game. So we're all going to say from the start that we've been playing God of War for the past week.
I've been playing Dog of War.
Fuck off.
Did you see the Sony trailer for that? That was hilarious.
I did. That was pretty good. And we're not really going to talk about it too much. So apologies on that in advance. But we'll start with Wilco. What have you been up to for the past 7 days, man?
Besides Dog of War, which you have to play if you can. Water Warships. I did some of that the other night. Getting towards ranked level now, so I'm pretty excited to keep that going. Loving it. It's good, especially with a group when we've got a few, about four or five of us playing it at the moment. So, Josh, are you still playing that or not? Or did you not get it working?
No. I'm playing it. It's working. It's working fine.
I think on the potato net.
Yeah, on the old potato net. The potato PC as well, you know.
Laptop. Potato top.
Yeah. I really need to do something about that at some point.
Yes.
They have this really good progression with it where I'm now actually unlocking the really good content and... but I now know what I'm doing rather than just giving it to me at the start and just absolutely sucking because I don't know what I'm doing. So it's getting to the real good end of it and still being able to play with the boys, which is good. So Damsel's the other one I've been playing. I got top 10 again for the weekly challenge last week.
I was up there, wasn't I?
You were way up there the week before, man. You had a huge score.
I didn't end up winning. Fuck, because I played. I remember sitting there for like an hour and going, I'm going to try and win this week. And I sat there for like an hour, and then I posted my score, and I was well ahead of everyone. And then I think it was Fenix Fire, another developer, sort of commented, and he was like, "Oh, a challenger has appeared." And then I just didn't check the scores again after that because I went to Brisbane.
He took it out that week, and then last week he got beaten by IND7, which is a streamer.
I'm going to win this next week. That's what I'm going to do.
The problem with what IND did was he completely cheesed the first level because you get that it's now to the point you used to get targets for your skulls to get the bonuses. Now it's just the more you get in combo, the more points you get. And because you can go through, if you dash through an enemy, they create two skulls so you can get them. And if you use the video cameras, because when you go past a video camera, that spawns an enemy. So he endless looped that sequence. Yep.
He's got a massive amount of skulls.
He got like 40 million, which was higher than anyone else just in that first level, let alone the other four levels. So I believe they're fixing it in the patch that just dropped.
We've spoken a lot about Damsel on the podcast. It is an Australian-developed game. It's a side-scroller. It's a platforming side-scroller, shoot-em-up kind of fantastic game. They have weekly leaderboards. You have to do like a challenge and you get as far as you can, get the highest score you can. It's actually a lot of fun. It's a very, very fun game. The controls are very tight, and I really think it's probably one of the best examples of a platforming game to come out of an Australian studio in a while. It's
considering it's in early access, they've just released the third wave of levels, so that should be... level complete now, story complete, which I'm going to now do a playthrough of that fairly soon. So it is a fairly fully fledged game and it's changing each week. Like, they're really adapting to what's happening out there. Definitely check it out. The Screwtape Studio guys and girls are amazing. So
yeah, they are. Yes, they are.
Looks awesome.
So that's about it for you.
What's that?
That's about it for you for the week?
Yeah, that's about it.
Sounds good. Gil, we'll jump to you because we sometimes do the rest of the cast first and then we jump to the guest, and I think that's a little bit rude. So we'll do Gil. What have you been up to for the past 7 days, man? Have you been playing games? Have you been investing time in this God of War thing that fucking everyone with a PS4 is playing at the moment?
Not yet. I'm just clearing out of host DDC Lurgy. Like, you know, it's the thing you go to DDC and you come back, yep, feel great and had a lot of fun, and then suddenly you get really, really crook. And
the carny flu.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
three different kinds of plague.
People with
the con flu.
Small hands, you know, and you just turn into like a snot factory for like, you know, 2 weeks, which is what happened to me. So I was just dosing myself with what do you call them? Hot toddies, scotch and honey drinks for about a week. Took the time to did some really fun stuff. I did half of my attacks, but not all of it. And then I played the hell out of Kingdom Come Deliverance and Into the Breach, which is awesome.
Oh, man, I've heard so much about Kingdom Come Deliverance. Is it worth picking up?
It's I mean, as a sort of immersive sim RPG, I reckon it does a pretty bloody good job. I was joking with my wife the other night. She said, what are you doing tonight? And I said, look, I'm in medieval Bohemia. And King Wenceslas has a problem with the silver mines, and I'm going to go down to local monastery and see what I can do to sort it out. You know, so I do get sucked into the story, but some of the gameplay mechanics are tricky. Like they sold their sword fighting mechanics a lot during the campaign, and then their Kickstarter campaign, I said, and then afterwards. And it is a kind of a cool system, I think, but I still find it quite difficult to get into the flow of it, I suppose, whereas, say, something like Dark Souls or even old Mount and Blade, some of the other sort of first-person melee games that have come out the last few years, I think had a maybe less ambition, but perhaps an easier flow to get into, if that makes sense.
It must be so hard today, post-Dark Souls, I should say post-Demon Souls, really, to come out with a medieval medieval skill-based over-the-shoulder hack-and-slash game, because you're just immediately going to be compared to Dark Souls.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and if it's more complicated than Dark Souls, people might say, they're overdoing it. If it's less complicated, you're more casual. I think it's pretty hard to step up. You know, I mean, I did play a lot of... do you guys play Chivalry at all?
Yeah, no. I've played Chivalry before. It's pretty good.
Yeah, so it's sort of, it's got all the sort of the moves of Chivalry, but none of the kind of arcade easiness of it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, although my favorite tactic in Kingdom Come Deliverance, which is a hell of a mouthful, is to just get a really good longsword and essentially circle strafe and thrust until I land enough hits to run in and kick them in the balls, sort of thing. So
that's how I pick up women, surprisingly. Just circle strafe and thrust.
Now, Gil, correct me if I'm wrong. I heard that like it is a proper like sim game, so I think you can learn alchemy in that game and like make some potions and stuff. But first, you've actually got to learn to read. Is that correct?
Yeah, you do. You have to.
What?
Yeah. And even with the sword fighting, like at the start. Yep. You can't really swing a sword very well, like, so you've actually got to go and practice and learn and do that to get competent. Otherwise, you just get wiped out. Like that's what it's like. And it's like really, really hardcore with the sim side of things.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I mean, the first sword fight for me, or at least I think probably when you play the game, you're running away from, well, spoilers, but basically you're fighting an incredibly superior opponent who has like armor and training, and you have nothing. And if you fight him, you pretty much die. So the only thing you can really do is just run away and try and run away well. And if it took me a while to figure that out, because I thought, there's got to be a way to beat this guy. And I spent about 2 hours hacking at him, and I think I gave him a slight graze on his elbow or something. And I
a slight graze.
Yeah. But yeah, really.
He'd chafed.
Yeah, he had to adjust himself. That was about it. But yeah, the reading thing, it was hilarious. Like, you get a bonus for reading if you're sitting down. for example. if you read on horseback, you know, that's quite difficult unless you get the right perk. And, it is a little
I might need to get this game.
But it's funny. Like, it's worth a look. If you can get into it, if you can get into the first hour or two, then the next 50 hours are quite entertaining. It's sort of steep.
I think we're a bit spoiled these days because, I mean, when I was growing up, RPGs were my jam. Mm. They always were. And as I was growing up in, like, the console that I grew up with the Nintendo, the NES, and then the SNES, but when I really got into games was probably around about the PlayStation 1 era. So a lot of the RPGs that I played then were JRPGs, a lot of them. I think we're kind of spoilt today with how many good RPGs and even JRPGs are out there. If you wanted to play every good RPG, I think you'd be very hard-pressed to try and finish them all in a year. You know what I mean? Like, there's so many now.
Oh, yeah, no, so I think it'd be impossible. I mean, there's that guy, I forget his name. I was going to say Chet Baker. That's a jazz musician. Chet someone. he runs that blog, CRPG Addict. Have you ever...
Oh, yeah, I've seen that blog, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's... seems to be trying to play every single RPG, you know. And if you look at his list, he's got about, you know, 35 years to go or so.
He's going to be 64 by the time he finishes the RPGs from the last 3 years.
And by then he'll have another 34 years added on anyway, or 54 years added on.
Because he's still trying to get through Persona after 120 hours. But, like, I was considering streaming all of the Final Fantasies from 1 through, all the main ones from 1 through to 15. And then I sat down, I thought about it, and I went, that's going to take me years. In between the other games that I actually want to play and all the new games coming out, that's going to take a very long time. I'm trying to play through Danganronpa V3 at the moment, which is like a visual novel slash... mostly visual novel, not really any RPG elements. But, I mean, I'm still at Chapter 2, and I started that 3 months ago. You know, it's fucking rough. I can't imagine trying to play all those RPGs. But I have to pick that game up because you've sold it to me.
To segue in, that's why I love the idea of Odd Gods, because you're talking about a 14 to 16 hour gameplay, aren't you, Gil?
Yeah, something pretty tight. Depending on when you ask us, it's because we thought we were being really clever with the design, or it was just because we didn't have the resources to do anything bigger. it's a bit of both, probably more the latter, to be honest, but. It kills me not to be able to finish RPGs these days. It's just, it's one of those things. You know what I mean? Like, growing up, it actually meant a lot. Like, I clocked it.
Yeah.
I'm done. Awesome. And I'll move on to the next one.
I haven't heard that phrase in so long. I've clocked this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just giving my age away. But, and so I want to try and make something that's actually satisfying and has enough depth to feel like a real RPG, but by cutting out as much of the, you know, the cookie cutter content, I guess you could call it. I don't necessarily dislike personally. Like, I can get into that. I can get into like a rhythm with fetch quests and killing bad dude. But we're just trying to do something a little bit different, I suppose.
Yeah, cool. Well, what we'll do is we'll get into a bit more of a deep dive on exactly what Odd Gods is and why everyone should be excited about this bloody game like I am very, very shortly. Josh, past week, man, you've got one game here.
Yeah.
Which it's more or less the same game that we've all been playing.
Yeah, because I actually sat here, and I know, because, I mean, God of War came out Friday, I think it was.
Yep. Yes, it did.
Yeah.
So I know there was 3 days before then, since the last podcast, that there were other games involved there, but I just can't remember what the fuck they were. They're gone.
Yeah, no.
The only thing in my memory now is that game.
Oh, wow.
So
it is a phenomenal game.
Like, how many hours do you reckon you sank into it? I'm assuming probably around the 18 mark by where you're at.
Probably a bit more.
Yeah, I'm at 20 and I'm before you guys.
Yeah, probably a bit more. And
I've picked the fact that I'm going to play through this fairly linear at the moment, and then. Yeah. I'll expand out afterwards once I've got all the abilities and stuff like that. So
Yeah, fair.
Yeah, probably about 25, 26 hours maybe. I haven't really checked.
Yeah, I don't think there's any way to check. I've looked at the save file. There wasn't anything on the save file, unless one of the three or four updates they've had since launch has added that in.
Yeah, but as you said, we're not really going to talk about it too much. It's just a phenomenal game, and
we're considering a spoiler cast on it. So yeah, we're considering a spoiler cast on it. But what I do want to talk about one thing, because it's also pretty much the game I've been playing for the past week as well, is the difficulty of the hardest difficulty.
I'm playing on balance, by the way.
Give me God of War or something it's called.
Give me... So I pride myself on being pretty decent at video games. I can generally finish. Like, I finished Demon's Souls back in the day. I've, you know, platinum to Dark Souls and Bloodborne and all sorts of stuff. So I pride myself on being pretty decent at video games. I decided to jump into Give Me God of War because I was like, I've fucking played God of War games. I've finished, you know, Uncharted on Crushing and stuff. It's not that hard. You know, I know these kind of games. I'll do this. Fuck my life. That game is sadistic. I got it on Friday morning. Bit of backstory. I flew in from Brisbane on Thursday night and Jetstar lost my luggage, so I couldn't actually go to work on Friday because all of my work shit was in my bag and Jetstar lost it. Thanks, Jetstar. I got it back, so thank you again, Jetstar. It's a double whammy for you guys. Friday, I went and picked up God of War at like 10 a.m. Got home, began to play it, and I think I restarted the campaign at about 11:30 at night because I had enough of dying. I had probably died maybe even under exaggeration, probably 200 times in the lead up, like to where I got to in the heart. And then I started to read articles saying, is this like, what have they done? Like, why is this so hard? I started to look at, see if other people were having as much trouble as me. And then there was an interview with one of the developers, and he went into detail about how they'd made the hardest difficulty setting like stupidly hard. So not only is the AI for all the enemies different, they will purposefully attack you at the same time and at different intervals that will completely nullify your dodge rolls and stuff like that. So they, like, the game is just, like, it is really hard, really, really hard, where every engagement with a pack of normal enemies feels like a hard boss fight in any other game. It is ridiculous. It is so fucking hard. It's so dumb. But God, it feels good when you kill like three people. three enemies. You're like, yeah, yes! Yes, son of a bitch, I did it! And then you run on, and then four more people come up, and you're like, oh, fuck. And then you spend like half an hour trying to beat these things. To give you an idea, I played that game from 10 a.m. until 11:30 p.m. and got to a certain point. And then I started again by 12:30 on the difficulty sitting down. I was at the same point.
Yep.
I that game
everything
is fucking hard.
Everything in Discord that day was, oh, I tried it. No, I've given up. I'm going back down. And I just went, I'm playing on balance because I'm only playing it for the story anyway. So I'm quite enjoying that side of it. And that's probably why I'm going through a bit quicker.
But now that I know it's there, I really want to do it.
I really
want to do it. Like, I want to finish that game on Give Me God of War. It is...
Good luck, yeah.
Now, oh, God. I mean, I know we said we weren't really going to talk about it because of spoilers, and I don't think this is a bit of a spoiler in any way, because it is an RPG, and the mechanic I'm going to talk about is a staple of the RPGs. But, Matt, if you do want to finish it on Give Me God of War, then you need to make sure that you're getting those health upgrades, man, because he's got to the point he's at, which is a fair way into the game.
I haven't got a health upgrade yet.
Picking up a single health upgrade, so he's still got the same health bar as when he started.
Yeah. I only just got my second health upgrade just before.
I was versing a boss the other night, and every hit, I was dead. One hit. I couldn't. So I'm on the difficulty directly below the hardest, and it's still pretty bullshit in some parts, but it's doable bullshit. It's not controller biting, teeth breaking levels of bullshit. It's
phone
kind of
biting.
Like, oh, I know where I fucked up there. I can beat this. It's, you know.
I haven't banged my head against the wall too much on any boss fight. The mechanics are fairly, once you understand it, it's pretty good. So. Are you finding that there's a bit more? Oh, I'm not doing that ever. Get fucked. have you finding the humor in it's better than you thought it would be?
Oh yeah, it's so dry. I don't think. In some parts, I'm like, was it supposed? That was hilarious. Was that supposed to be hilarious, or am I just real fucked in the head?
Especially the people that you run into all the time. They are
yeah, Oh, the dwarves, they're funny guys. Yeah, they're very funny. But look, we're going to stop talking about it because it's very spoiler heavy. Josh, you've been playing anything else or pretty much just God of War?
There is one other thing that Emma got me into, which I didn't know if I really wanted to talk about because, you know, you're going to think less of me for it. But
can't Barbie think any less of you.
Come on, Wilker, that's me. It was what's it called? The Walking Dead: Our World. It's like it's a mobile game for The Walking Dead, like Pokemon.
I'm pretty sure last week on this podcast you told me that you thought Mass Effect Andromeda was a good game, so you know. You're playing mobile games, it doesn't surprise me.
Obviously you're lying to people now, Matt, because you weren't here last week. So
that's true.
You know.
No, we had the lovely Brendan, didn't we? That was a great episode. Can I just ask, Perko, did you listen to that episode?
No, I got told by very good people that it gave me shit in the first 5 minutes, but I'm pretty happy about that. I said I expected nothing less. I would have been more surprised if they didn't give me shit in the
first
5 minutes.
We got to the
point
where I went, we probably should move on from just slamming Perko nonstop.
I'm so happy about that, boys. Thank you.
Anyway, I just know I'm never not going to be at a podcast because the same thing's going to happen to me.
Yeah. That's true. It probably will. Yeah, that's fine, though.
let's get back to Gil, though. I think that's
so. Yeah, that's me done. Anyways,
I don't want to hear about this mobile game, so let's move on.
Yeah. I guess I'll give you the very brief rundown of exactly what happened to me in Brisbane. I went to the Twitch meetup. It was fantastic. I broke my phone. I'm supposed to tell this story because I told people that I would, and it would be front and center in the banner for this week's podcast. I broke my phone with my teeth. So, yeah, don't...
No. So I've been trying to get a hold of my brother, and he finally comes back to me, and he says, I broke my phone, I got a new one. I said, oh, what happened? He said, I bit it. And that was...
People who know Perko would be going, okay, he's been playing Street Fighter V or Tekken 4, 7 with his phone in his mouth, and he's just got aggro and bit too hard. But no, that wasn't the actual story.
No, it wasn't. So what actually happened was I was rushing... to get to the airport for my Brisbane trip, and I had my phone in my mouth. I don't know why. Sometimes I just carry things in my mouth.
Dog.
Yeah, like a dog kind of. Like I'm just, I feel like shit. My hands are full. Yeah, like a pirate dog. But my hands are full. Chuck in my mouth, you know, and do something. And I was like, I was in the kitchen, and I put this thing in my mouth, and I spilt some water, and I was like, fuck. And I was like trying to mop it up, and I slipped on the water and smashed my chin on the bench. And my phone was in my mouth, I broke my phone.
Marks.
Yeah, there's like two big holes where my canine teeth are in this phone, and it worked for like 24 hours after that, and then it just stopped turning on, stopped charging.
Fall out or anything?
Yeah. No, I chipped my canine on my right hand side. It's not too bad now. It was a bit sore for a couple of days, but I'm pretty good. I think I had to get a new phone on it while I was in Brisbane. So that was interesting because
really
I was like
to pitch this to Gil right now for Odd Gods. Can we get like a talent in there for an inventory upgrade option where your character learns how to hold things in his mouth so you can hold an extra couple things?
That's not actually far off some of the ideas we've had for inventory upgrades. Without going into too much detail. Because it is something that we do play with a bit, like inventory space being limited. So, we'd never steal that idea. I mean, not in a million years.
That's so good.
Don't even know
that's so good.
Who you guys are, or I'm not even really Gil. I'm just an imposter.
Cool.
I'm just saying, Matt, you're gonna shit bricks when you learn about pockets.
Learn about what?
Pockets, you know. Another way to fucking carry shit, man, as opposed to...
Man, I live by myself. I wasn't wearing pants, okay? Fuck my life. All right? Anyway, we'll do the interview with Gil. As we've already said, Gil, you've created a game called Odd Gods. It is a pretty old-school RPG with a lot of old-school RPG elements in it. Let's sort of start with where the idea came from, I guess.
Well, that's big question.
Easy from the start.
I was at a party in 1995, and in all seriousness, I read a lot as well as playing a lot of games, and I was really hooked on I was really hooked on Terry Pratchett books and Neil Gaiman, and they both mm. wrote like a book about weird gods in a strange universe that are kind of like created not by, they're not like true divine beings or any shit like that, but it's more like they're created by what people do and what they sort of think about. So, you know, like in American Gods, that TV show version of it is like a, what is it? It's like a god of Easter, and there's a god of like arms manufacturing and stuff like that. And that sort of, that got me ticking for a while. And I remembered something I looked at in an old story, but graphic design class way, 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 way long time ago. And we were looking at the history of the Michelin Man. And the original Michelin Man, like, Michelin Man's a pretty weird character if you look at him, right? He's kind of like made out of weird white tires all stuck together, and he's like, yeah, you know what I mean? Is he trapped in?
He's kind of like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, but not marshmallows.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Like, is he meant to be a man in a suit, or is he like really made out of tires? Like, what is he? And if you look back at the history of how the Michelin Man was made, or you go back far enough, there's this really creepy image in like the 20s or 30s or something, and it looks like a giant slug with elephantitis, right, has formed into a humanoid, and they've given him like a pipe to smoke and these weird demonic glowing eyes. And then they're like, buy tires. Like, what the fuck was that about? And then and that sort of got me looking into how brands are developed and how logos are developed for all sorts of things, you know, for like, you know, selling carbonated sugary beverage drinks or chocolate bars or whatever you reckon. And it got me sort of thinking that you could create some pretty interesting characters from those ideas. Like if you had sort of brands that came to life as time traveling demons who fed on the flesh of 1990s teenagers.
Like Facebook, demonified. That'd be fucking weird.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the social media post-apocalypse is pretty dark. I mean, that's a good place to be. And it just sort of rolled on from there, I suppose. But I mean, game-wise, I always wanted to try and make something that was a bit like Ultima 7 Blackgate, and a bit like Planescape Torment, but not as long as Blackgate.
Yeah.
And with decent combat, which neither of those games really have, in my tying all those wacky ideas together, we came up with Podcut.
Yeah, fair. So the gameplay itself is very RPG heavy. Is it very heavily, for anyone who's sort of not familiar with RPGs, they sort of came from the old Dungeons and Dragons tabletop games back in the day. It was a lot to do with dice rolls. You still have those sort of chance encounters and stuff in there. Is it still based on those sort of roll of the dice in what happens?
So one of the things we looked at, one of the things that has always bugged me about RPGs based on D&D and other and tabletop systems is that they use random number generation as their sort of primary combat. So, you know,
RNGesus, pray to him because he might save you, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. he would make a bloody good odd guy, that's for sure. But you know, I mean, we've all probably seen or played XCOM and been in that situation. This is straight off the pack show flip. It's so good. And you've got a shotgun, you've cornered an alien, you've got a 95% chance to hit. You're standing right in front of him, you pull the trigger, miss, and then he kills you the next turn or runs into cover, and you're just like, what the... That to me is sort of... That's just... It's sort of gambling, you know. It is just rolling the dice, and there's not all the strategy you've invested into that point is wasted. And so we thought, well, we're going to make we want to make a kind of a tight focus game. What if we just took out random numbers and generation altogether, and how can we make that combat system work? And we went through quite a few iterations of that. Actually, ended up going like way back into the source, into the history of turn based combat games, and dug up really old war games that they used to teach it. Because the British equivalent of... Where they trained British military officers in like the 30s and the 40s, they had a system which was similar to real-time with... Sort of like real-time with pause, like you see in Baldur's Gate. For example, you're in a party, you control them, you say, attack this guy, and all you guys go off, blah, 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 and then you can pause the combat at any time and change the orders, except the opposite. So... It's everything happens in, instead of pause with real time, it's like real time with pause, if that makes sense. So
yeah, okay, yeah.
In Odd Gods, instead of setting like having each guy take their turn one at a time, you set your whole party to do whatever. So like, you know, I have a guy who's got a musket, you say, okay, you know, you fire over at the enemy over there by the wall, and you've got a guy with a sword, and you say, okay, well, you go charge that other guy and try to stab him in the face or whatever. And then when you hit the start turn button, everything takes place at the same time. So that means that you can effectively, you can dodge bullets in a sense. So if you've got an enemy who's got, let's say you've got an enemy armed with a modern submachine gun, like an Uzi or something, and they take aim at you at 4 or 5 paces, you can see that enemy line up that shot before you plan your turn,
yes,
basically, and go, well, I'm pretty sure he's going to try and shoot me in the face, so I'll just you know, dive roll to the left, or I'll hit the dirt and go prone and try and shoot him in the kneecap, which is pretty interesting and kind of cool for an RPG, because usually those sorts of events take place in the player's head, if you know what I mean. Like, I have a gun, I shot the guy, it was 25% to hit, but then I hit him, you know, and then turn the player's head, it's like dive to the side like John Wick or something, and, you know, pulled out a pistol and shot him between my legs.
Mm. Blah, blah, blah. Great reference, by the way. Good movie.
Yeah, I love John Wick. So we're kind of trying to bring a lot of that, not necessarily cinematic, but tactical action into the gameplay without just relying on stats. That makes sense.
Yeah, nice. It reminds me, from what you've explained so far, not in the sense that the party turn plays out, but it reminds me a little bit of Fallout Tactics back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
Fallout Tactics was, I think, came after Fallout 2.
I think so.
Fantastic little game. Very good game.
I played the hell out of it. I played the multiplayer a lot with my brother, and we really just got into wasting each other quite a lot.
That game was brutal. It's the first game I found that you could set up ambushes. So you could say, okay, you go here, beside a doorway. Then you could send a person in and run backwards straight away, drag people out, and these two people behind the door would just murder everyone as they came out the door. It was the first game I'd sort of been exposed to that you could do stuff like that. It was an interesting game. I really enjoyed that game.
Yeah, the tactics were actually pretty decent. I still think it's quite underrated in respect. I mean, one of my favorite things to do late game was to late game, you could recruit some pretty interesting party members, and I'm pretty sure you could hire a Brahmin, you know, like a two-headed cow, and then send them into battle as like a Malay character. Do you remember that?
Yeah, you could. Yeah, you could. Yeah, headbutt them and stuff. That was ridiculous.
It was awesome.
Yeah, I do remember that.
So I remember I'd get two of those Brahmin and then like send them into a team of super mutants while my snipers, you know, were set to Overwatch or something.
That's right, because he had a bunch of health and strength, and was really hard to kill because he was a two-headed mutant Brahmin. That's right. That was so good.
Just soak up the bullets for ages. Our combat system supports a lot of ambushes and stuff like that as well, which is pretty cool. So so because you can see where the enemy's going to fire, you can trick them into shooting their own dudes, which is kind of cool. So you can bump someone into the line of fire. For example, which is pretty fun, and you can also just completely own enemies, just simply by taking advantage of their sort of dumbness. So, you have a guy who a master swordsman might sort of rush you and do like some fancy flourish, like what's his name? Like the guy in Raiders of the Lost Ark, when Indiana Jones is in Cairo, is in the bazaar scene, and that guy comes out in the black turban and he does this. There's this awesome flashy sword move. Everyone's like,
you just shoot him.
And he just pulls out a pistol and just shoots him straight. that sort of thing happens. Like, our system kind of generates, I guess, our little combat events like that quite by accident. But a lot, which is a hell of a lot of fun.
That's great. So, I mean, it's pretty safe to say, or pretty fair to say, this game is for people who enjoy games like XCOM, enjoy games like Valkyria Chronicles, enjoy games like the Fallout Tactics and stuff. Anyone sort of RPG focused, would you say that it is has as much depth, but also is accessible as well for the people who? Because I mean, when I look at a game like XCOM, sometimes it's a little bit deep to dive into. Every now and then, you go, "Oh shit, this is is there that extra layer there for the newcomers, and also if you want to get crazy about it, that depth is there as well?
I hope so. looking at XCOM as an example, like there's a lot of like party management and sort of high level strategy, yes, as well as just playing in a given level. Whereas with Odd Gods, you are exploring a kind of a crazy time traveling weird world adventure sort of scenario. But you're not like switching between like one screen and then worrying about do I have enough iridium or whatever coming in to power my plasma guns and then going off. It's more it is actually story driven.
Yeah, cool.
So you do get to sort of explore all the levels, travel through time, which is also kind of cool.
Yes.
And we don't reuse levels and just respawn a different sort of mob or enemy, if you know what I mean. So all the content is sort of handcrafted. So each combat counter has been set up sort of by hand by a designer trying to trying to kill the player most of the time, but we take that handcrafted approach to a lot of our stuff.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. So when's it going to be available, and where is it going to be available is more important, I guess. And
that I can't tell you right now. So we were in GDC to talk to some publishers. With NDAs in place, I can't go into detail, but there's been,
fair,
I can say there's been quite a lot of interest in it. Our class system seemed to generate quite a lot of excitement with some of the
pushes. This is the question I've been dying to ask. I've been waiting for Perko to give me a chance. Can you explain the class system for a second?
Sure. So Odd Gods is like it's like an urban or a grungy fantasy RPG. So that, there's no orcs, there's no elves, there's no magic swords, there's no dragons. Instead of having fighters or mages or paladins, you have 1990s subcultures. Is the sort of basic gist. So instead of a fighter, you would have a jock. The closest thing to a mage is probably the nerd class. Who's a bit socially inept but has some pretty decent technical skills, at least to start off with, and so you start the game, and it's the end of the 1990s. It's actually like a end of the millennium, 1999, Y2K party. And if you remember the 90s, subcultures were pretty big,
pretty rampant. Yes, they were.
Rampant, yeah, that's a good word. before social media and stuff, people, lived in their subculture bubbles instead of their internet bubbles, mm-hmm. right? So anyways, the game kicks off at this party and you choose a subculture. At the moment, we're looking at eight, which are effectively character classes, so eight character classes.
That's actually a lot for, a lot of games that are coming. I mean, Diablo 3 came out and had 4 or something, didn't it, when it came out? That's a lot of classes.
I mean we're gonna kick Diablo's ass in every notice game.
yes, that's what I like to hear.
I'm sure Blizzard have their reasons, but for money,
that's the reason.
But I mean, it's sort of, I guess, for us it fits our goal of a high quality RPG with depth and replayability, but not a huge playthrough time, so want to put as much into it as we can, and so a handcrafted class kind of suits that goal. If you know,
so it's actually achievable to play through on multiple classes instead of spending 120 mm-hmm. hours with one class, then going, I've done this game now, I don't really want to do another 100 hours on another class. You've got this small, condensed, very engrossing sort of story or playthrough that is relatively short in terms of RPG, but you've got a lot of classes, and each playthrough it incentivizes you to actually play the other subclasses.
That's the plan, and hopefully make them significantly different enough for them to be entertaining.
So
some classes are more focused towards combat, some are more you know, specialize more in non-combat stuff or have particular perks that benefit exploration and so on. So there, you know, you can. I wouldn't say it's a like new game plus is probably the wrong way of saying it, but there's certainly more content to play each time you replay with different class.
Yeah,
just sort of a now, Perko, I don't want to go into detail.
Really rad.
Yeah. Perko, you get to select what music you like in this game as well, and it affects
really?
Your gameplay. Yeah. Yeah, sorry. So, I'm doing my picture. So in Hogwarts, right? So instead of traditional D&D classes, you've got subcultures. Instead of magic swords or whatever, you've got more sort of like modern weapons, you know, cricket bats, Uzis, and like a
fence palings. If you're from a
yeah, fence palings. Like it. Well, so if you had like an RPG, like a rocket or grenade, that's the equivalent of a fireball, I suppose. A fireball scroll in our in our game, and they're pretty rare. So you roll a subculture. So you take what was the pact? So pact, we had a skateboarder and a goth. So say you take the goth, right? And so goths, pretty traditional goth would be into, you know, Nine Inch Nails, The Cure, perhaps, depending on the sort of style of goth. So we let you choose that. So instead of a class, you choose a subculture. Instead of an alignment, like in D&D, you choose what music you're into and what music alignment.
Oh my god!
So instead of new, instead of neutral, no, instead of good, neutral, evil, we have underground music,
neutral,
alternative music, and mainstream music being evil because it's the 90s.
So you can be an underground jock. How does that even work?
Well, that so that's something that plays out mainly. So every NPC you meet has sort of like a disposition towards you, right? There's a lot of, believe it or not, when you go back in time, you know, if you ever go, there's quite a lot of people from the 90s who are stuck there. They've tried to survive. You know, like there's some. Some of them are in medieval Europe. Some of them ended up in a bit closer to modern times, stuck at the Vietnam War. Some are way, way back in almost prehistory. But all of them, what they really remember the most from the 90s is what they remember, what subculture they were, and they remember what music.
I thought you were going to say Friends, but that's okay.
Well, you know, if you were like a, if we had like a mainstream, like if we had a Valley Girl subculture class, which was a serious consideration at one point. But one of the examples we give is, so say you're in merry old medieval England, say War of the Roses. So this is sort of medieval warfare, some primitive firearms, but you know, plate armor and knights on horseback.
Hmm.
And you've rolled a goth and you're rolling down the. This guy steps out from behind a tree. He's got sort of patchy leather armor and he's got a club and he's like, oh, okay, buddy, you know, your money or your life. And you're like, hold a second, mate. Just hold on one second. Is that a Lakers shirt I see under your leather armor? And he goes, holy shit, how did you know? And you're like, well, I'm from the 1990s. I just got lost in space time and trying to find my way back home. And I picked you. And he's like, well, I'm not going to roll you for your money now. We're going to team up and find a way out of here. So, you know, he joins your party. But then as you get to know him better, he starts asking you questions. Like, so what did you do? Did we know each other back in the night? You know, what were you into, blah, blah, blah. And this guy's a pretty straight jock. So he was, I wouldn't say he was into boy bands, but he was probably into mainstream hip hop, perhaps. Certainly he wouldn't have been into underground punk. So he's pretty, what do they call, what do the kids say these days? He's basic, right? Basic. That's what my sister would say.
What do the kids say these days? What do the kids say these days?
What are the kids?
No, it is. It's a basic bitch. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. The male version. And you're like, whoa, I was goth and into, you know, dark industrial metal, you know, stuff that really makes my dead heart beat. You know, with the power of a thousand eclipse sun sort of thing. And then he sort of takes a step back and he's like, really? You're into that weird shit? And so that starts to define your relationship with your party member. It doesn't necessarily mean you can't recruit people who aren't into the music that you like, but you might have a more difficult time holding on to them. And they might decide to, for example, if they ran into someone else on the road, or if you met another NPC or perhaps even another adventurer. They might be more in tune. And if they're in tune, which is sort of our shorthand for does the NPC like that music genre, then they bail on you and roll off and join a tribe of jocks and go rampaging through, I don't know, medieval bloody Germany or something instead.
What a love story.
That's right. The old story. Boy comes to town, girl leaves town and goes to medieval Germany. Yeah, so you know what I mean. So alignment equals NPC disposition.
Yeah.
And ultimately, at a mechanical level, it's about how strong a party or how strong a tribe of time-lost subculture fighters you can build.
You have 100% sold me on this game. I really want to fucking play this game.
Oh, wicked. Job done.
So, yeah. So
I also want to play it because all the time periods that he's talking about have got a little twist to them. And I really want to see what those twists are, but I don't want to spoil anything for anyone, so we won't go further.
What we'll do is, Gil, I want to get you back on when we have some sort of a release date defined or something along those lines and sure. Talk more about it, because this is a game that, you know, is... I'm a massive RPG fan, grew up in the 90s, so those subcultures are going to... They're going to hit home for me.
We're hoping that we can embarrass a few people. Yes. As well as remind them of some of the cooler stuff too, but not,
you know what
not
has with to happen, rose you know,
glasses. So yeah, go.
You know what already has to happen is there has to be a sequel called Odd Gods 2, and it's based in the 2000s, and you have to have emo as a subclass. It has to happen.
Yeah, there's we had a few requests
for emo. I knew there would be.
Why isn't there emo in this game? Like, come on, man, we're not there yet. Wait, you got it.
Not there yet.
Hopefully, we can just do an Odd Gods for every major decade. You know,
oh, it'd be so good. The 80s would be so good.
The 80s would be hilarious. Or like the 70s, God, have hippies running around with broadswords or something.
Broadsword hippies. Like
chaotic hippie.
Yeah.
Wow. Fair enough. All right. So, look, Odd Gods is going to be out at some point in the future. It sounds like a riot to play. I'm very, very keen for it. Gil, we want you to hang around, man. We're gonna get into some news and stuff, but please pipe up. Whenever you want to say something, whenever you want to throw an opinion in, we'll throw to you a couple of times. Please stick around. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, man. We're going to get you back on when Odd Gods is sort of closer to release, and we'll talk more about it then. I'm actually really fucking excited about that game now. God damn it. That sounds really good. Let's do this.
This is the fucking news.
All right, so... There's been a bit happening in the past week, boys and girls.
There has.
And girls and boys.
There has.
Apart from God of War, obviously. And Odd Gods. So, Monster Hunter World has added a new Elder Dragon. This is something that a few of my friends really jumped on board with. And this was the kind of stuff that I was hoping to see out of Monster Hunter when they said that they were going to be bringing in limited time quests and stuff. Kul'Thuroth Taroth is a new Elder Dragon. Unfortunately, I was in Brisbane, didn't get to kill it. But from everything I've heard, it was really fucking cool.
And we I think you and I did have some plans. So I came over to your house on Saturday night, and
we played God of War.
We were talking about when I got there. You know, we should have brought Monster Hunter over and jumped in for some of the timed quests. But no, that didn't happen at all.
Nope. God of War happened.
The energy out of everything. Unfortunately, the oxygen out of everything.
So if you have Monster Hunter...
Nintendo thing released last week at some stage. I don't know what it was. So.
Well, yeah, I'm not too sure either. But if you have Monster Hunter, now's a good time to jump back in. If you've managed to spend 200 or 300 hours in the game and you've done everything, then they are releasing limited time quests, which is fucking really cool. And this one is apparently very cool, very good, and a lot of fun. The fight, from everything I've been told. This hurts me a bit to say. Hurts me a bit to say. So apparently, Black Ops 4. Is reportedly going to have no traditional single player campaign at all.
There's a lot of agencies backing this up. The weird part is they say that it's not going to be ready for release, the single player mode. So whether
Street Fighter V did that, and it really wasn't a good idea for the franchise.
So it's going to ship without.
The scary part is that they're saying they're focusing on getting Battle Royale into
multiplayer and zombies.
That's what's taking focus. And that they're
trying, if you can see my face right now, I'm having an aneurysm. This is what a face looks like that's actually having a stroke.
I'll ask Gil what Battle Royale is going to get into Odd Gods later on. But, so the company behind it, which is Raven something or other that does the multiplayer, has been tasked to do Battle Royale in it. They're talking about they will eventually get to a 100-player Battle Royale version, but they won't. They don't even think they'll get 100 players in a match by launch as well. So
this is going to kill Call of Duty.
This is a weird thing because they've also pulled this forward a month because of Red Dead Redemption 2. They're going to be releasing a month earlier than normal with basically what content's going to have
just multiplayer,
a poor man's Battle Royale.
Don't try and beat no one should try and beat Rockstar. Like every game they release is a juggernaut.
Yeah. Like that's sort of maybe a year that Call of Duty should have had off by the sounds of it. Something's happened in development.
Like the whole point of the Call of Duty games in my head has always been initially the story. The multiplayer has always been the tack on. You know?
Yeah, but I think the multiplayer's been good.
That changed around, I'd say, probably Modern Warfare 2. I've played the last few single player campaigns, and I will stand strong and say that the last couple of not World War II, because I played through that and I really didn't like that, but the one before that, Infinite Warfare, I actually thought that was a very underrated single player campaign. I thought it was very good. I didn't think it was as good as Titanfall 2, which was fucking phenomenal, but I thought it got a lot of flack that it didn't deserve, which was mostly around the multiplayer, the change they made to multiplayer. I think that probably since Black Ops 2, maybe, or Modern Warfare, what was I thinking? Black Ops 2 was where they really started to sort of focus more heavily on the multiplayer.
Yeah. So once again, this campaign is all rumours. They will be apparently making an announcement in May. May 17, the new Call of Duty Black Ops 4 completely. But the rumours are saying basically it will just have multiplayer, a very small Battle Royale, and they're focusing on zombie mode being in there as well.
See, the thing that frustrates me so much about this is they're going to charge, if all these rumors come true,
it'll be $100.
They're going to charge full price for this game, and then when the single player story content is available, they're going to charge just about freaking full price for that as well.
I can tell you what's going to happen. They'll have a Star Wars Battlefront 2 on their hands, and they're going to. There's no way that after the past 12 months and what's happened with loot crates and what's happened with everything, there's no fucking way the community will stand for that. There's absolutely no.
I half think it's almost testing the waters of, do we need a single player campaign anymore, or can we sell two different versions, sort of thing? Because there's got to be data in the background that's saying no one's playing our single player, not as many people are playing our single player campaign as they used to.
Or the people that do play the single player aren't playing the multiplayer.
Yeah.
And the people that are playing the multiplayer aren't playing the single player potentially. Yeah. Moving on.
Yeah,
it's annoying.
It's a strange one. It's a rumor too, so.
It's annoying regardless. This is also annoying. Fortnite has apparently earned $25 million in its first month on mobile.
And it's only on iPhone. It's not on Android.
On iOS. Man. 30 days.
Oh, fuck.
$25 million.
Yeah.
That's $1 million a day.
And they used to say you can't make a hardcore shooter on mobile.
I still think you can't. Have you tried to play? It's terrible. It's actually really not good. It's actually fucking horrendous. But Sega's Yakuza studio is working on a new IP. This is pretty cool because Yakuza's a fucking sick game. So I like Yakuza games.
It released
very fun
last week, didn't it? Number 6 or something? Might have.
Yeah, I missed the special edition too because it came with two like
whiskey glasses
which I really wanted. I really wanted those.
No. Son of a bitch. No, that doesn't make any sense for you to want that.
Fuck off, okay. Trying to sound like an alcoholic here, mate. I'm not, okay? Sober. And Serious Sam 4 has released a teaser trailer as well, which is pretty damn cool.
Yes.
I've never played any of the Serious Sam games.
They're pretty serious, surprisingly.
Watch that trailer. Here we go.
Oh, really?
Yep.
They're very fun. They're kind of like what you'd expect, like over-the-top first-person shooters to be. But yeah, they're insane. So, keen for that one. I like first-person shooters. Yeah, that'll be a good one.
Yeah, it'll be Battle Royale anyway. It's all good.
Yeah, probably. Oh my god. Ben Brode from Hearthstone. The Hearthstone game director has left Blizzard.
Mm-hmm. moving on to a new new venture. Hasn't really said what it is. He's been with Blizzard for 15 years and been working on Hearthstone for 10.
Made his millions, moved on.
Whoa, that's a long ass time.
Uh-huh.
There's a fucking long time.
For one studio, that's, yeah.
The stories he could tell.
Well, even 10 years is a long time for Hearthstone, I thought, but that's just me.
Yeah. It's has it been that long? I suppose it was in development. Yeah, fair.
Yeah, maybe.
Yep.
Anyway.
Pretty much.
Nintendo Labo came out, didn't it? That's what I was...
Yeah, apparently it did. The development platform, which is really cool, but not really a game.
It's, maybe it's just,
and apparently...
Maybe it's just about you can, like a collecting trading card battle royale game or something.
They're going to... You know they're going to, oh God. It's like Yu-Gi-Oh! But Battle Royale.
Well, that's what we did with cards. At last year's Twitch Brisbane event. They handed out a card to everyone and you had to play Rock, Paper, Scissors. And if you beat the other person, you got their cards until there was only one person standing with all however many cards they handed out at the end of the day. So that person won a prize. That was their Battle Royale card game. It was good. It was fun.
Sounds pretty fun. Apparently, the replacements, anyway, the news is the replacements, the replacement cardboard, I should say, for the Labo. Labo. I don't know.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's about $10.
$10 a pop. Now, American. But there is an update on that, too. Apparently, Nintendo has already released free PDFs for every cardboard sheet in all of its current kits.
Cool. That's pretty fair.
So, yeah.
That's good then.
I mean, that's something that spoke about with how easy it was going to be for that stuff to break.
Yeah.
Yep. The E3 2018 press conference has been released. The schedule, I should say, has been released, which is pretty fucking cool. So if you want to check out what's happening at E3 and who's going to be talking where and where you think the big releases and the big announcements are going to be, then you're able to do that now online at Kotaku, I think, have a copy up. I'm pretty sure that all the major outlets will have a copy up by the time you listen to this.
Just get ready for it, because we're announcing in the next couple of days and promoting that on the 14th of May, Super Hype Train will be doing a predictions episode for E3 for all the press conferences. Yeah. So we want to get everyone
emphasis
in on
that. On the dick.
That's it. So, that'll be good.
This is a Camposanto, the guys behind Firewatch. Valve has picked them up, which is pretty fucking cool.
Valve's publishing games again. And
no, Valve... Well, yeah.
They are.
I guess so. Maybe.
Or are they?
Well, there's still... Camposanto has come out to say that they are still working on their new game, which has got a god in the title as well. They're copying Gil's game. Land of the Gods?
What a cool idea.
Yeah.
And got a award too, right? I mean,
bastards.
That's it. But yeah, they're still working on that. They're still doing basically everything that they have. They're just moving locations and basically got more resources to work with. So I think this could be a start. I think Valve's going to probably announce a few more things fairly soon. But
I'd say so.
Yeah.
And the Venom trailer was released. I was pretty pleasantly surprised, actually. It didn't look too bad.
It could have been worse.
Look, I mean, the one thing that... And I don't know if we've discussed it before, but the one thing that confuses me a little bit about what they're doing, because obviously, now correct me if I'm wrong, like Spider-Man doesn't really exist in this particular Venom universe.
But he gets the suit first. Yeah, he should. He should get the symbiote. Fucking assholes. Symbiote first, yeah.
Yeah. So like, Spider-Man should.
Well, they can't...
Spider-Man should,
So like... I'm wondering how they're going to bring in the whole fact of, you know, web shooting and stuff like that for Venom, because the whole point of Venom being able to do that was he copied it from Spider-Man after he joined with Spider-Man.
Maybe he can't. They didn't show it all.
They
showed
him sort of learning the black goo spitting out at all different angles was sort of just...
You mean the symbiote?
Yeah, that thing was the internal...
drives me wild.
Internal virus or Venom actually doing it itself, and he had a little control over it. Until they started working together. But anyway, it looks cool. The animation, like the actual when he becomes Venom at the end of the trailer, looked pretty sick. So
that was pretty fucking cool.
And they've got Tom Hardy, right? They're going pretty hard. Like that's he can't be cheap.
not at all.
He cannot be cheap. He looked like he nailed the role of Eddie Brock pretty well. I was very impressed with what I saw from the trailer. Wait till the movie, because it's mostly like most comic book movies that aren't Marvel these days I kind of shy away from. Just I understand that Marvel are popcorn cookie cutter sort of experiences, but they're still probably the best ones out there, I think, at this point.
What are you saying about the DC movies?
They're terrible, and you shouldn't feel bad for liking them. But like a lot of the other ones, like Spider-Man's and the Fantastic Four's and stuff, aren't great either. Marvel pretty much has a monopoly on good comic book movies at this point. The fact that it's associated with Marvel, and you can tell they've had a bit of a hand in it because it says so in the fucking trailer, is a bit of a... I think that's pretty good. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But yeah. This is so weird. Ubisoft Club has a new assistant. They've named him Sam. After Sam Fisher.
It's actually only beta testing in Australia and New Zealand at the moment. So Ubi Australia tweeted out the other day saying you've got a new voice assistant. So if you go into the actual app itself on your phone, you can ask it anything and it will answer you as best it can. So it's like Siri or anything like that. So I tweeted back at Ubisoft Australia and said, last name Fisher? ? And they replied this morning saying, why don't you ask him and find out? We think it's hilarious. And yeah, this Sam is named after Sam Fisher, so it's another little Easter egg in this whole Splinter Cell conspiracy that's leading up to Splinter E3. But yeah, it actually comes back with...
Have you asked this Sam Fisher assistant if they're going to have an announcement at E3? Because you really
asked when is the next Splinter Cell coming out, and it said came back with the response of Blacklist was the last one in 2013. However, there is no news of a new game, a HD re-release, or a remake in the works at this stage. So, but yeah, it makes a joke about...
Liar. Fucking liar. There's always remasters in the works for every studio ever.
So I don't know what it is, but for being dead quiet on Splinter Cell for so long, they're leading up to E3 with this Sam Fisher entering Ghost Recon DLC and then naming their assistant, which is a dodgy assistant. I don't even know why it's in there. Sam after Sam Fisher is a weird thing.
Yeah, it is weird. Very weird.
Not segue, but apropos of Tom Hardy, apparently he's signed up to play Sam Fisher in the adaptation of the film, the Splinter Cell film.
Yep.
That'd be cool.
Just got his Venom, his Mad Max, his Sam Fisher.
Just quickly on that note, another little segue. I forgot to put it in here, but the Division movie has now got another director, and it's, you mentioned it before, the John Wick / Deadpool 2 director is signed on. So once he's finished with, apparently there's a Fast and the Furious spin-off movie that he's making next, he's going to be working on the Division. So it's all coming
fair around. Yeah. Sounds pretty good.
There's an insta watch for me, even though it's a video game, which is terrible.
Agreed on that one. And the last bit of news, Detroit Become Human has a demo released. I haven't played it yet, but I want to. So
yeah, I played it at PAX. It was awesome. We're going to do Super Hype Train episode on it next week, so I'll probably stream the demo sometime over the weekend. I'm downloading it after this. So yeah, it's really good.
Sounds good. Into the listener feedback. That's all for news, guys. If you want to ask us some questions, you can do so at the Megacast Megacast at ultrasupermega.com.au. Get the email address right, Matt. Or you can jump in the Discord and ask us in the podcast channel in there. We welcome all kinds of questions. This week's first question comes in from Demuji. Have Marvel friendlied Thor? Is Thor actually a downright ruthless cunt? Demuji, what's your language, you little bastard?
Yes.
No. They, not Marvel, but they kid-friendlied Wolverine. The assholes.
Well, I think most of the stories and stuff in popular culture now that have got anything to do with any of the Greek gods or any of the pantheon of the gods is generally kiddied down a little bit to what they actually were, you know.
Then. But like in Marvel, Thor was not one of the most brutal characters. Like that was Wolverine, that was Punisher, that was characters like Deadpool, that was characters like that.
I think what
they have.
He's mainly referencing is the fact that Thor's depiction in God of War is a lot different to Thor's depiction by Marvel in general.
Yeah. And I think the Thor depiction in God of War is probably... I don't know, I haven't looked... my understanding
spoilers,
of it, it's,
yeah.
it's a little
is Thor
bit
in God
closer.
Of War? We're not too sure, he might be. I don't know.
Well, no, the stories that you hear, you know.
I know.
Stories. But yeah, so as far as I'm aware, it's a little bit closer, but maybe not correct.
Another God of War question coming up next from Last Wave. Which runic alphabet are they using in God of War? I did translate some of the some using the Elder Futhark alphabet, but need to be sure. Also, has there been any backlash from archaeologists regarding the reckless smashing of the pottery in the game?
Can I take the runic question?
Yes.
So I have no idea what runic alphabet they're using in God of War, but most video game runic alphabets are based on Elder Futhark. I have done too much research into this, and to the point where I can actually write competently in the Ultima series version of the runic alphabet, and there's actually a little bit of runic in Ultima. So if they're not using Elder Futhark, which is sort of the same one that Tolkien used in the Lord of the
Rings, okay.
I wouldn't say I'd eat my hat, because I don't want to be wrong and eat the hat, but I would be really fucking surprised.
They probably are, yeah. I'd say they probably are. So yes, there you go.
The second part of the question, I've got no idea.
Oh no, they don't care, man. Archaeologists aren't gonna give a shit. They're fake pots, fake news, fake pots. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah,
that was from last week.
I love breaking some myths and pots though in this game. It's good.
They are good fun. Leroy Jerkins has asked the question, ever been so mad you just started chucking axes? Funny story, Josh, yes, you actually threw an axe at me because you were so pissed off when we were younger. So yes, Josh has actually been so mad that you started chucking axes at me.
Second funny story. One of my friends has also almost killed another one of my friends with my father's axe.
Oh, he was going to throw up in the air and it came down.
At the back and messing around. My mate Robbie's like, I'm going to throw this axe. And we're like all on top of a pile of chip bark, like, fuck off, no you're not. And then he did, and we all kind of dived out of the way. My mate Carlo went down the back of it, started running, and slipped, and as he slipped the axe spun over the top of his head and it just missed him.
I like how casually you say my father's axe.
My father's
we're from Mackay, man. There's some shit goes down here sometimes, not too sure.
It's not
his favourite axe, it's just one of them.
Yeah, right.
Yes, one of those. Was the axe he let us touch. So that's
can I just say, just referencing God of War for a second, because I haven't thrown axes in real life or got no stories like that, but there was a moment in that game where I actually got so mad in that game that I threw the axe away from the enemies and just used my bare fists on them. It was good fun.
It's always fun. That's always very fun. Whippy Bicky, fuck my life, your name. Whippy Bippy Cunty Munty Jerkins.
Do you know the best thing about this question, just before we get into it? I know he doesn't listen to the podcast anymore because we answered this in depth last week. So anyway, go into the question.
Oh, really? Who do you think will die in Infinity War? The answer from Leroy Jerkins said the whole franchise. I think they're doing a double take. I'm pretty sure Iron Man's going to die. I think that they're showing Captain America being all fucked up, but it's been very well known for a while now that Robert Downey Jr. has come out and said that he does not want to play Iron Man for the rest of his life and he wants out. I think they're going to kill off Iron Man. I think it'll be him.
I'm still thinking Captain America, eh?
I think it's going to be a double trailer. Up. I think it's going to be a double up. I think they're both going to die.
Does that mean we're going to get like a kid Iron Man?
Because they've been arcing Spider-Man up to take his place.
I still think it's not. They're not ready for that yet. I can see Captain America, because Bucky Winter Soldier will just step up and take the Captain America mantle.
Well, that actually happens in the comics anyway.
Yeah, and I reckon that's what's going to happen in the movie. But I don't think they've got Spider-Man to a point yet where he can become.
What's
the,
his name?
The Iron Man.
What's the one that uses the other suit, the American suit? Can't he step up?
War Machine.
Yeah,
no,
War Machine.
Not War Machine.
No,
yeah, won't be him.
Falcon.
Oh,
Falcon. Yeah,
Falcon.
Yeah, can't he? Isn't he set to step up in case?
He's boring as sin.
He is boring as sin. But someone. I don't even know if they need someone in the suit. Like, they can just retire that suit and just say that was something that happened. Mm. And see, Captain America is something that they replace in the comics, so it makes sense to have that as a story arc. And I think they want to
replace everyone in the fucking comics with different people.
Well,
and
I think
the
they're
going to
finalize
shit, so.
a lot of it with Infinity War. I think a lot of it's going to be like the end of a very long arc, and a lot of the characters are going to move on, and they will they need, like we said last week, they need to kill off a few of them because otherwise there's no repercussions in future
Well,
movies.
They need to kill off a few of them, otherwise they can't afford to pay them anymore. Yeah. They're all got so fucking big.
Like, if someone like Thanos comes to town and wrecks shop and no one dies, you're like, well, who's going to really, like, threaten them in the future?
Where's my emotional attachment in the next movies? Everyone's obviously going to survive because, you know, Thanos didn't do a damn thing, so... Agreed.
But I'm watching it tomorrow, so I'll let you know on Twitter. So just follow me on Twitter, and I'll let you know exactly who dies straight away.
Look, as long as by the end of the movie, Korg from Thor Ragnarok is still alive, I'm happy.
Yeah.
And as long as he's got some mint lines in this movie again as well.
Which guy?
Let's start to close this thing out.
The Kiwi
Let's start
guy.
To close it out.
The Kiwi.
Yeah, it was hilarious.
Fuck off, Goose.
Hey, bro, you want to join a revolution?
We didn't print enough pamphlets.
In 30 seconds or less, Wilco, what are you looking forward to?
Oh, I don't really know. Infinity War tomorrow, finishing God of War, getting back into the Division because there's a global event at the moment, and Sea of Thieves. Oh, Detroit, lovely. Become human. Done.
Josh, what are you looking forward to?
My whole life is God of War at the moment. I have no idea what's coming next.
Gil, what are you looking forward to, other than releasing Odd Gods and letting me play it and praise you for the next 19 years of my life?
Slow down. I've got to finish it first. Finishing Kingdom Come Deliverance and actually playing God of War so I can talk about it and figure out how the hell they're reading out this construct.
Please do. Please come back on and be like, oh, by the way, just send us a soundbite that we can play on the podcast. Be like, here's Gil answering exactly what the runic alphabet is, and just fucking record it on your phone and just send it to me, and I'll play it on the podcast.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
find out what it is.
No, you're on. I mean, runic spelled verbalized does sound a bit weird. It's kind of like an orc eating a bag of nachos. But
I fucking love nachos, and I kind of look like an orc. So.
All right, I'll teach you how to swear.
That's a great image. That's a great image.
It's very good. And myself, I'm looking forward to more God of War, realistically. That game's taking up everyone's time at the moment. I really want to play that game, and I want to finish on hardest difficulty too. But let's close this thing out. Wilco, if we need to find you, where can we catch you, man?
Wilco Shillzone on all the things and all the places, Twitter, Twitch, YouTube at the moment, mainly.
Josh, where can we catch you?
Super Mega Josh on Twitter and Discord. Give us a shout out. Let's play something.
Gil, if people want to find you, where can they find you?
You can't. No,
get out.
What's game on Twitter or the In Between World, I suppose, when I update it, which is that often, because I'm late.
Website is inbetweenworlds.com.au?
.com. We managed to score the .com. So
and it's I-double-N.
I-double-N. I-double-N.
Yeah, I-double-N. In Between Worlds. Hello, Dad. And you can catch me at Matt Jerkins on most of the things, or Matty Jerkins on some of them, because some pricks already have Matt Jerkins. And at our website, ultrasupermega.com.au is where you can catch us all. Gil, man, thank you so much for joining us. I'm personally really excited for Odd Gods. It sounds right up my alley. I'm keen to play it. And we'll catch all you guys next week.
Cheers, mate.
See you guys.
Anyway, cheers.